We do want to greet everyone this evening. As we gather here, I want to extend a Christian greeting from Prairie Believers Fellowship to you here. So many of you don't know who I am. A few of you might. We have 10 children. Nicole, which is our oldest, is married. We have a small church there in Perry County. Two of our families are here. So it's good to be here with you. So I appreciated that opening. And maybe you wonder if that word ambassador has ever charted the course of a life. And I testify it has. It has charted my course. I was converted at the age of 24. And probably 25, upper 25s, I came across that word ambassador. As I studied that word, I realized that we cannot stay in the world and follow the world's systems and the way of the world and be a Christian. And that may seem like a stretch to you, some of you, but really, that word ambassador is there for a reason. It is there to cause us to realize that we are strangers and pilgrims here, and we're here for a different purpose than what the world is here. It's a very powerful word if we allow it to chart our life. So I'd like to just open here with a verse this evening and then have a little illustration. But the verse that I like to is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "Even so, ye, for so much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel and to edify the church." So coming into a congregation that I don't know many of you, I guess, and also being able to stand here and encourage you to lift up and to build up the church without me having any benefit to it. I encourage our local church to plug in and be there, and maybe it can be viewed as there's some benefit in it for me, but for you here, I guess my encouragement here this evening is that you give yourself to the edifying of the local body of believers. And I believe that in our day, especially young people and maybe even older people here get to a point where they feel like they're just not useful in the church as they used to be. But I guess this evening I'd like to encourage you to give what you have, and young people to take some of your vision, some of your zeal, and channel it through the church and make that upbuild the church and take the church with you and your zeal. So for a little illustration, I always say that people only remember a very small part of what a preacher says, but I think that illustrations is something that does stick with you. So I remember several years ago, I was raised on a dairy farm, still am a dairy farmer on the home farm. But I was a young boy, I don't remember how old, but I remember my parents talking about things being tight, and finances were tight, and if I remember, it was a dry year. And so as a little boy, I remember going up to my penny bank, and I got a few pennies out, and I took them down. I'm sure they were probably all pennies. I left the dimes and nickels and the bigger stuff there, and I put it in the desk drawer to help them with their financial need that I was sensing was in the household there. Let me say this morning, well, what did a few pennies help in for a financial need on a dairy farm? Well, I don't know that they directly helped the need, and yet they did. Everything that we can give is going to help the need. We can look around us, and there's many, many needs. There's many needs in many churches this evening. And we can say, well, what can we do? We can give what we have. And even though a few pennies, like I said, is not going to make the mortgage payment or pay the feed bill, but it is still something. We often say that it's the thought that matters, and I believe the thought has a lot to do with it. But let us not forget that the pennies matter too. Even though they didn't meet the overwhelming need, they made a difference in a very small way. And so I'd like us to think about that this morning. What are the pennies that we have that God has given us to invest into your local church, into the body of believers that you find yourself in and are part of? And I believe there's a tremendous amount of blessing when we channel our gifts, our abilities, our zeal through the edifying of the church, as it says here. You're zealous for spiritual gifts, but make sure you edify the church in them. I know a young man, he's a great pianist, and several years back he came to our church there, and I know him much better today. He doesn't attend there, but somebody asked him, what are we going to do with our life? And he right away raised his hand. He said, I'm going to play piano for God. And he was an excellent piano player and still is. But as time went on and I got more involved in his life, and I noticed that he was under conviction to take his piano career and take it out on his own. And one night as we sat there and talked, my advice to him is take his talent, hide it in a church, and God will bless you in it. We talked about the many people that have risen up, leaders, ministries, and years later it seems they just fold and they fall. And I believe that part of that reason is that God brings men back down where he wants them and he allows ministry to fall. And I believe his intent is that those ministries and that zeal is lost within the church, and the church receives honor and glory on a much larger scale if we study the scriptures. And so whether you have dollar bills this morning, or whether you have coins, encourage us to invest them in the form of, I'm not talking about money, but in the form of gifts and talents and abilities, and simply presence, just to be there, is worth a lot in a church. And there's value in it. So I like to look at Matthew chapter 21, very familiar account of the talents. Matthew chapter 21. The Bible is very clear that he equips his people just like those ambassadors are equipped. They go into the field very trained, very equipped, with a very distinct purpose. And I'm sure they learn a few things over the years, and so do we as believers. But God has promised to equip us. And here is one of the examples of the equipping that God does for his people. I just want to read verse 14 in chapter 25 of Matthew. It says, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Very interesting verse. I don't know if we've ever really stopped and pondered the depth of what Jesus is really saying in that verse. As he says, he's going to go on. He's going back to his Father, and he's going to call servants. And I think that any of us here that have been born again and have been called, we know the calling. And I believe that he says here that he calls his servants. And I believe God does call. And we need to recognize and realize that we can enter in with him into servanthood. But one of the things that I see here is he committed his goods unto his servants. Very, very powerful to us that are here today in our generation, God has committed His goods into His people to maintain and to keep and to preserve and to pass on as we a godly seed to the next generation, to maintain and preserve our local fellowships, our churches. God said He called His servants, and so they're not lost. They're not just randomly picked, but they're called out. They're called ones. They knew they were called in to be a servant. And I think we need to ask God sometimes, call me, use me, take me for your service. But He committed His goods to them. Of course, he's still up in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He is interceding, and He is empowering, and He is working with us. But on a very large way, the Scripture would indicate that He has committed the gospel to the apostles and then beyond, even into our generation, to preserve. And so these are called people and they're committed goods. Verse 15, and unto one He gave 5 talents, and to another 1 talent, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, to every man according to his sever ability, and straightway took his journey. So sometimes maybe we think that while we don't have the 5 talents, maybe we don't have the 2 talents, but I think we all have the 1 talent. And I think many of you have the 5 talent too. But we all have been given something. There was no servant here that was not given a service in this world. We have Luke at our church. He's handicapped and he's in a wheelchair now. John Byler's brother, Corey's son. He is just such a blessing. I don't know what we're going to do when he's gone, but he is such a blessing to the church. And just because of his zeal and his happiness, and he's always requesting prayer, and it's not always for things that we would pray about, but that doesn't really matter. And so he is given a talent, and somehow he has developed to use that talent in the edifying of the church. Not all in his state edify, but he does. He edifies. And so this morning, I think we need to realize that we've all been given something. Are we willing to give it back? Are we willing to use it? Are we willing to put it to practice? And I believe those talents can vary in many, many ways. Some of those talents need to be developed. They need to be brought to maturity. They need to be used to grow. And I think we see a little bit of that as we go down through here. But I would encourage us this evening, just to recognize that God has given us talents. And it's for the edifying of the church. It is for the building up and the edifying of the church. And I believe if we direct and use those talents in that way, they will be a blessing to others. Down to verse 15, it says, and unto one he, sorry, 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with some, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 dug in the earth and hid the Lord's money. I think we can simply sum that up, is that God is looking for an increase out of our life. God is looking for all of us to produce a spiritual increase. That can be done in many, many different ways. It can be done in very small ways. But God is looking not as Samson was given tremendous strength and could have done a tremendous work in Israel. Yet he chose to take that strength upon himself. And it cost him his life, as we heard in the children's lesson there. And so whatever talent, whatever we have, whatever God has given us, whatever abilities our parents have raised us with, I encourage us to make them multiply. And make them multiply in the edifying of the church, in the building up of the local body of believers. And I believe we will find that it will keep us from becoming proud, and it will also be a tremendous blessing to the generation that follows us. So, just a question I have down here that I think is kind of good to ask ourselves, and I don't think any of us really answer the question. That is, what is our talent? So what is your talent this evening? There's probably some people that will, as the young man I talked about, he quickly raised his hand. His talent was in music, and truly it was. And yet God had to take that talent and take him to a place of a very, very low state in his journey in order to use that talent, I believe, for his honor and glory and not for his own, not for the individual's honor and glory. And so what is our talent? And I don't believe this morning that we can, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this is my gifting and your gifting, and I'm not presenting that here. But I am encouraging us to use what we have and the abilities that we have and the things that God has worked in us and use it for the edifying of the church. God is looking for an increase in all that he gives to his people. He is always looking for increase. And I think it's something that we need to remember. God has invested, if we can call it that, a tremendous amount into his people. And he's looking for us to gain. We see the one individual that took that talent because he said he feared God. And he buried it. And we see that as that group of people stood before God, God took what he had and gave to the one that had five. And we say, well, it's just not, don't seem fair. That's how serious it is when we simply take, as believers, the change that we may have in talents and we bury it and we just don't use it. We don't put it to practice. We may have a lot of good ideas, may have a lot of good visions. We really don't put it to shoe leather. God is not going to be pleased on the day of judgment, on the day of reckoning with us if we bury and hide our talent. Many times it is hid in a sense of, I don't want to be proud, or I don't want to be forward, or there's a place for humility, but I believe in humility we can use our talents. And I have always said that ministry, as far as ministry or talent, always feeds ministry. Ministry always feeds ministry. And I believe the same, if we use our talents, they grow, as we see the account here. So as I think of the talents and what Jesus has asked, I go to the feeding of the 5,000. I'd like to turn there in Matthew 14. And we can just see a little bit how serious Jesus is about us stepping up to the plate and meeting the need that is before us. I think that all of us, probably if we were there that day, we would have responded the same that these disciples responded. And I believe these words are recorded to challenge us to step up to any plate, any area that we see that there is need, simply to step up and be available to help. So here in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew, reading in verse 14 down to 18, says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick." And so here we see Jesus by example before the eyes of the disciples doing things that were impossible in light of humanity or in light of man. He looked out and he saw the great multitude and he began to heal the sick. And so they saw the miracles. They saw the power of God demonstrated right before them in this situation. It says, "And when he was evening, and when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past spent. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy for themselves vegetables or food.'" So the disciples saw that there was a crisis mounting. There was something here that needed some attention, and their solution was to send the people away and let them go find their own source. So let them go find their own food. Let them go find their own way in life, if I can say it that way. And so that was their solution. As they took account of the situation that was before them, their solution, it seems kind of reasonable to me, to send them out and say, go into the villages because you're not going to buy anything in the desert place. And if every man takes care of themselves, maybe they all have enough to feed themselves. But it wasn't Jesus' response. Verse 16, I think too many times I respond, especially to a certain class of people, let them take care of themselves. We have many people in our world that seem very helpless and unable to help themselves or willing to help themselves. But I do think we need to be careful. What is our heart response to them? I don't suggest we go around just handing money out, but we can pull them aside or stop and talk to them or give them a little bit of direction and not resist them or laugh at them or send them out to the villages to find their own. Verse 16, "But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat.'" What if I was standing there that day in that desert place, and I saw a little bit of Israel. I don't know what it looked like right where they were here, but I think it's a desert over there. It looked pretty rough to me. And they were, Jesus looked at them and he said, "You give them something to eat. You feed them." Seems a bit unreasonable. But I think in many ways, Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. You be the ambassador in this world. You reach out. You endeavor to meet the needs where we can. And this is their response. As they took account of what Jesus told them, they remember they were seeing him do the healing and the sick. And they said in verse 17, "And they said unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Another account would say that if 200 pence, I believe it is, would not even be sufficient to give them even a small amount. In this account here, they do seem... And I know there's 2 different accounts of feeding. But in this account here, they did take what they had and they brought them, told Jesus they have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so I believe that was the right response. that we should have. Here, this is what I have. This is what I have to meet this need. And given to Jesus, we know the rest of the story, it more than met the need. And so they simply gave him their pennies, gave him their talents, gave him what they had, and Jesus took it and multiplied it. Verse 18 says, and he said, bring them hither. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that did eat were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Probably a lot of our children here or haven't ever seen 5,000 people or been in a crowd of 5,000 plus women and children. And straightway Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a ship. I think I'll stop there. So I think it's very important that we especially in the day we live in the many pressures that are upon many churches, to simply give what we can and not to, every church has a direction, every church has a method, every church is designed and built in a certain way. And I think that we do well to simply aid that and help that to grow and to be able to be a blessing to our communities. I think at this time we will kneel for prayer.